On this episode, Ryan Holiday brings his wisdom.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey everybody, this is Gary Vaynerchuk, and this is episode 262 of the Ask Gary V Show. And I'm pretty excited about this. Ryan Holiday is in the house. I know that a lot of you are humongous fans of this man's work. I've seen his name pop up now for, feels like about a half a decade. I like saying that instead of 5 years, I'm not sure why.
Sounds longer.
Is that what it is? More yeah, I like, you know, it's like Jake just said, we'll be ready in 90 seconds instead of a minute and a half. It sounded shorter. By the way, for the record, Jake took a lot longer than that. But here we are, we're finally live, 262. It's a Monday gloomy in New York. The New York Jets just lost Quincy Enunwa for the season. He was our only offensive weapon. Though Bilal Powell, there's some other little pieces. ASJ looks decent, but like the Jets are well on their way to a historically bad offensive season. So that will be fun to talk about through the fall as we are now in August, which means it's October. That's how I basically think about August, because August is kind of weird. You kind of come back, it's really September. You know, it's never September 1st because Labor Day is always later. It's October, Andy. And so we have a lot to do. But Ryan, why don't you say hi to the Vayner Nation, and for the couple of them that don't know who you are, what is the kind of 3 minute, 2 minute bio?
All right, I'm Ryan. So I've written a bunch of books, 6 books, 30. So 6 books before I was 30. Dropped out of college at 19. Worked for Robert Greene, who wrote The 48 Laws of Power. Worked for Tucker Max, who wrote I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. By 21, 22, I was a director of marketing at American Apparel, which is at one point the largest fashion brand in the United States. And then I started a company that's worked with authors like Tony Robbins, Tim Ferriss, Cole Lappin, dozens of New York Times bestsellers, millions of books. And then I just work on cool projects now that I like.
And that company?
Brass Check.
Brass Check.
Yeah, I don't say the name because I actually don't really want any clients, but that's the name.
So you'd prefer no clients?
No, I prefer...
Picking your clients.
I prefer not to have incoming business, only...
Because you don't want the emails that say, this is the book? You'd like to be more selective?
Yeah, I think...
You're trying to control the top of the funnel.
Top of the funnel, and I think as you see with VaynerMedia, it is a lot of work to scale an agency. And what I really love doing is writing. So I want to work on projects that I want to work on. So if I feel like spending the next 3 days writing something, I don't have anyone I have to answer to.
When did you realize you liked writing?
I don't know. I wasn't one of those kids that like always wanted to write. I think I fell in love with books, and it wasn't until I met Robert Greene that I realized like you could make a living doing what he was doing, that you could be a nerd about history and philosophy and all these things. And that you didn't have to be a starving academic. You could reach millions of people. You know, Robert Greene's books are so popular, they're actually banned in most federal prisons because they think that it makes prisoners too violent and gives them too many ideas about how to be powerful. Right. So I just, and you know, like 50, he wrote a book with 50 Cent, and he that's the life that I wanna make things that have impact, but also are the things that I'm fascinated by.
How's that going?
It's going great. I mean, in 2014, I wrote this book called The Obstacle is the Way, which the New England Patriots read on their way to...
Hold on. You know, you're about to end this interview very, 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 very quickly.
I know, I'm sorry.
I know I can see your head working here. I know you've landed this sentence with purpose. I just want you to know that I'm willing to end the sentence with purpose. I'm a funny character.
I'll take it.
Maybe we can use a different example. Well, other teams have enjoyed this book. I know of this.
Yes. Let's use the Seattle Seahawks.
There we go. I like Pete Carroll, former Jets head coach.
Yes, that's true. Also former Patriots coach, though.
That's true, but he was terrible in New England, so I prefer that.
So I wrote this book about ancient philosophy that somehow became a Bible in professional sports.
Yes.
That's just amazing to me. I just love it. I love being able to take something that I'm interested in, that I'm fascinated with, that I could nerd out about all day, and translate it and bring it to an audience that wouldn't think they're interested in that.
And in that form, do you think of yourself as a translator, as a DJ, as somebody who synthesizes?
Yeah, I think that's what we're all doing, right? There's no new ideas, right?
Nope.
Everything was said by Aristotle or the the Romans or the Greeks, and I want to take those ideas and present them in a new way. And I think there's an immense amount of value and not a lot of competition in people who make connections between two. So it's not just translating one old idea in a new way, but taking two old ideas and combining them together into a new idea. I think that's very important.
I like that. So what's obviously, you know, before we started this, you gave me a little insight into a book you're working on, but let's shelve that for a second.
Okay.
Oh, shelve that, I like that. I'm very interested in people's pulse on culture and like life and themes. Like what's got your attention right now in the world? Is it like slime selling on Instagram like it is for Kastner over here? You know, is it the Jets historically bad offense? Like what's on your mind?
My answer is gonna be weird.
Go ahead.
But I spent the last 2 weeks repairing fences on the ranch that I live on. So I've been thinking about nothing that's going on in the world except for how to hang barbed wire and prevent cows from escaping.
And how did that go?
You know what, this is what I was thinking about, is that like I didn't check social media in this time.
Yep.
I was focused on adult
offense.
Yes, and that this was the opposite of the work that I normally do, and
yes,
was incredibly fulfilling and satisfying.
It was super narrow, right?
Yes.
Very binary, like kind of hand, like just very
it was
different.
Hands-on, and I was telling someone, it was like it doesn't require you to be smart. It just required you to be tough and
disciplined,
yes, right? Like you can learn how to do it in 2 seconds, but then you got to go in and get scratched up and be out in the Texas heat and do all this stuff. So I'm interested in, I think we're gonna see I think social media is clearly here to stay, but then also
You feel the full digital emergence is gonna allow us to get excited about these kind of tasks?
Yes.
As an outlet to balance of the full 24/7 on world.
Yes, and I also think millennials especially are going to be the first generation to really tire of these things and go
yes
back and
right
find some, that like what I'm doing is both absurd and totally financially a drain, right? To own cows is like the worst business in the world.
Yes.
But
you love cows.
I don't love cows. I mean, I love the land and being outside and doing all that. But I'm just saying there, it's romanticizing the past, right? Like my
yeah
parents and grandparents and they were like, I just got... Like, if you think about the America two generations before, they're like, I gotta get off this fucking farm.
Right,
like,
I wanna get on the farm.
But
you know what's so funny about that? I think that's like, that's always the advice when I give, when somebody's trying to think up something, it's always pulling in the opposite direction of the current fast trend.
Yes.
Right, like Snapchat's restrictions were a great answer to Twitter and Facebook's openness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, that makes a ton of sense to me. And as a matter of fact, I actually see it in a similar way with a slightly interesting twist. I'm fascinated that so many people are doing real life stuff only to then take the picture and
yes
use it as the PR. Like people are literally hiking this weekend just for the shot to put on Instagram, but it's forcing them to do old school shit.
Yes, yes, because no one wants to see another shot of your dinner because
yes
that or if it is a shot of your dinner, you better have cooked it and shown us the whole process of you doing it and why you did it and all
yep
that. People.
We'd rather see somebody pull out carrots from the ground right now than the finished carrot glazed dish.
Yeah, we're just exhausted with the same scenes we've seen
always
over and over
supply
again
and demand mm-hmm of attention. Andy, let's get some phone calls going in here. Ryan, so many of the people that are watching that are in the digital marketing space know you for your awesome abilities in this world. Have you kept up with the ability of being good at digital marketing? Like, do you feel like that's always in your mindset, or how do you think about that world, growth hacking, things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, it's all I think about, especially because I have to eat my own dog food, right? If I don't
correct
know how to market, my books don't sell,
that's right,
my products don't sell,
yes,
you know, so... Definitely. And actually, I think this goes to your point, though. I think from a marketing standpoint, people tend to, it's like, oh, everyone's on Snapchat, I got to go on Snapchat.
Right.
And I think there's a huge mover advantage. If you're the first on a platform, you can rake up a lot of gains. And then I see people get in these sort of wars of attrition instead of trying to do the thing that no one else is doing.
I totally agree. Like it's probably, it's, you know, I've been spending a ton of time thinking about email
mm-hmm
because email's not dead. And nobody, in the best minds, tend to not be spending their time on it.
Well, and the thing about email is nobody owns email, right? So there's no network Correct. Saying, how do we monetize
Hello?
That?
Hello, how are you? This is Gary Vee, and you're on the Ask Gary Vee Show with Ryan Holiday.
Shut the heck up. That's so awesome.
Haley.
Hi, Ryan.
You,
Hi.
You have done it. Where are you from, and what's your question?
I live in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Beautiful.
And I'm an artist. And okay. So I just started being a full-time artist this summer. I do like illustrations and watercolors.
Yep.
And so
we're watching your pineapple and flowers right now.
Oh gosh. Cool. Yeah, so that's just some quick stuff I've done.
Don't worry, don't hedge. Do not hedge. It's fucking awesome. Okay. I can't do it. Keep going. What's your question?
Yeah, I'm trying to think even what question I exactly asked, but I guess what I wanted to know was right now, like, I have a lot of clients that are just like commission based, and it takes a lot of time, and I'm trying to get to the point where I can like make this more sustainable than spending all my time
right. You don't want clients. You want to get to a place where people want to buy your shit for a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan, you get the first swing at this.
Yeah, no. Well, first off, I would think
Let's
about...
Let's just cut to the chase, Haley.
I would think about charging... If you're doing stuff on commission, that should be incredibly expensive. And then that way, the stuff mm-hmm. that's not on commission can be cheaper, but then scale more. So I'm always... If it's just going to be you, if you're not trying to build this huge organization around you, you want to be exclusive, and you want there to be value in that exclusivity. So that's how I would think about it.
Haley, I think that Ryan's making an interesting point. I'll tweak on it. Have you continuously charged more every time you got a new client?
I've been trying to lately, but I've kind of like, I'm also at the, it's kind of scary, like the point I'm at, I feel like I don't know if I have enough client base to move up further than I am right now.
And how long have you been doing this?
It's been a hobby. So I used to do fashion design, so it's been kind of a hobby on the side for probably about 5 years. I've been doing stuff for clients, and then just this year I've started to raise prices like very slowly.
And so, and how often, how many hours a day are you spending on this?
Quite a bit. I mean, probably half the day every day.
What's half the day by your definition?
Probably eight hours.
Is you painting, right?
Right.
And what's happening with the other 16 hours in your day?
I have another part-time job.
Good.
And then I suppose I get sidetracked with social media as well.
respect. Thanks for the honesty. So instead of building fences, you're just going through your feed.
Yeah, and then I think I also get sidetracked trying to figure out what avenue to go towards.
Avenues as gateways to new clients.
Right. Yeah.
Have you made spec pieces for people with big social followings and just sent it to them as gifts or DM'd them, or have you gone down that route? That has been a real good hack for a lot of artists. I mean, every time I get something, I throw it on the back here. Like, has that been part of the equation? Not every time, one every 10 times, back to why it's hard. Has that been part of your equation?
It's been a little bit. I actually did that with Pat Flynn earlier this year, and I went to him and painted him a mural. But I've had good luck with that, but I'm having a hard time. I guess now that you've pointed out that I have a lot of extra hours, I could do more.
Well, look, if you're having, I think the other thing I find is like, people are like, oh, I'm having luck with that. And then they don't go all in yes. on the strategy, right?
Right.
It's like, if it's working and you want to grow your business, do more of the stuff that's working.
I love you so much, Rye, for that. Literally, if I was a painter, I would only paint influencers on Instagram and DM people. Literally, I would wake up in the morning at 7 a.m., DM until I got blocked. Yeah. from people like that set that, and I'd probably create like 11 accounts to continue to DM and would say, hey, hey, Jake, Ben Ruby, you know, I like your style. Can I make a piece for you? And literally do that. And it's great that Kastner's here because he was with me when I was in the early days of digital, where it was exciting for me to sit and cold email, DM, create forum names and become part of a community to bring awareness to something that I was willing to over deliver on, right? And mm-hmm. so like, I think you should spend 2 hours DMing people and saying, I'd like to make a piece of art for you, right? Make your time in your feed and social media worthwhile. Hit the explore feed, click things that are interesting to you, see people that have big followings, and then DM them and say, I'd love to make a piece for you, right? And then one out of every two will feature it, and one out of every two will just hang it without anybody seeing it, right?
And you do a thing that most people don't do, right? Most of the people online are like, hey, can I write an article about you? Can I have you on my podcast? All this thing that takes time from them. You're making a physical product. Like, how many people have paintings that someone made for them unsolicited? Right, it's there because you don't get a lot
correct.
Of paintings.
Correct, correct.
And you know who else? Mark Echo, who we both know.
Yep.
He literally launched Echo Industries, which became a billion-dollar company, by making swag for people in hip hop. He made a jacket for Spike Lee.
Yep.
About Malcolm X. Yep. I talk about the story in my book Perennial Seller, but he talks about it in Unlabel. He calls them swag bombs, and he would make amazing stuff for people and send it to them. And this airbrush jacket launched a 20-year relationship that he has with Spike Lee.
Haley, listen, influencers on Instagram are underpriced by their attention. Somebody that you make a painting for that has a million followers still thinks it's cool for now that you made a painting for them, and they are gonna post it on their account, and that is gonna bring you disproportionate awareness. I highly recommend you going deep on this strategy. By business developing for people to, don't do it on spec and send it to them and then, you know, D-Rock takes it home. You know, actually figure out if they're interested by it and then they actually showcase it. And I would rent to, Ryan hit the, I'm having luck with this and not doing anything with it. Like the one thing my team will tell you, and a lot of them are here, as soon, and I know you do this too, as soon as we see something works, I squeeze the living fuck out of that thing until it doesn't work no more.
Okay.
Got it?
All right.
Good.
Good call, yeah.
Thank you. Good call. I like that. Number, you can get the next one, Andy. Right, that's such a good point, right? Like, isn't that the point, right? Like, I think one of the things that has always been interesting about me is I love the unscalable, so much so that I think, ironically, what doesn't make me best in class in growth a lot of times has been I don't pass it on to the scalable technology thing because I love the dirt so much.
Sure.
For me, I watch everybody in the other way. That, you know, like,
they're always. I mean, when I sit down with clients, my first question is always, where are most of your clients coming from? And then they're like this, and then I go, so let's do more of that. And they're like, thank you, this is such a great idea. And it's like, you were literally already doing this, but I'm just gonna talk to you about how we can double down or put more resources behind it or whatever.
So here's something people don't realize. In the CPG world, like the deodorant, shampoo, soda, it's all heavy users.
Yep.
Like 10% of the users drive the entire business. So if you quadruple down on that base and get one more incremental.
Hello, this is Donald speaking.
Donald, this is Gary Vee, and you're in the Ask Gary Vee Show with Ryan Holiday.
Oh my God, I'm sitting here cooking eggs in my kitchen. I'm watching it live.
Well, thanks, man.
How are you?
We're great. Where are you from?
Sarasota, Florida.
Love it. What's your question, my man?
Hey, I don't really have a question, man. I just wanted to tell you, you're a huge inspiration to me. My family, I'm in the family business of dry cleaning. My parents came down from New York in '89 to Sarasota and kind of built this thing from the ground up. About 5 years ago, I started to build like a free pickup and delivery service on the side of our, as an extra added service to our business. And I don't know, it started zero. This year, we're going to break 700,000. And just wanted to let you know, man, you're just a huge inspiration to the hustle, and just really appreciate everything.
That's very, very kind. Can you say something nice about Ryan?
Ryan seems like a great guy. I don't.
He's really good looking, a great guy. Listen, thank you so much for calling, man. That means a lot to me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, that's good, Andy. I like this strategy. More of those, just random phone calls of compliments.
And then we don't have to do anything.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. No worries. I know. Don't worry. You've done a good job up to this point. I wasn't joking, actually. Let's do more compliment calls. Ryan, what was the first breakthrough hack or growth or thing that happened in your kind of career as a teenager or young man? Or like, what was one of your favorite like tripling down on something or discoveries? You know, Eric Kastner, again, I love referencing him. He helped me build winelibrary.com along with John Kay. And we were hacking, me, AJ, and him one summer. We created a site called TagMy it was a MySpace tool, and we're making all our money in AdSense. And by accident, we would post on celebrities' walls a link out to us, and we'd do it by hand. By accident, AJ left one of the, in the HREF, right? He left the,
bracket.
The bracket out when he control copied, by accident. What it did on MySpace was, it made our post, which usually you would post, but then a million people would post on Justin Timberlake's wall and you get pushed to the bottom. For some reason, when AJ posted this without that bracket, it got stuck above the wall and was stuck for like an hour as the top post, and it exploded our site. It's always one of my favorite moments in the history of me being, like, it was just super funny. How about for you, real quick, before we get to know Merch Cole?
We forget how quickly that, like, MySpace basically disappeared because it was so shittily made.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean? And that 100%. Facebook was just flawless, and that's why it won.
And it was funny, everybody's reaction to Facebook was like, wait, I can't customize my wall? Like, this sucks.
That's why you can't customize your wall. Correct. Shit breaks all the time.
That's right.
When I was at American Apparel, one of the strategies we sort of figured out very early on was, okay, if you're boring, you have to pay a lot of money to get your advertisements in front of a lot of people, right? And that's why banks spend billions of dollars on advertising, even
insurance companies.
Exactly. Yes. So if you're boring, you pay a lot.
Yes.
If you're interesting or provocative, or you piss people off, you get tons of attention, and those same ads that you would normally have to pay to get people in front of, the media will report about and write about for free. Right. And so the idea was, let's say we're going to spend $10,000 on advertising on this thing. Well, how can we do it in such a way that it creates a news story or creates attention in and of itself? So I think what I figured out is there's basically two ways to advertise. One is direct response, which is very boring and all about conversion. And you got to know that.
Yep.
And
math.
Exactly. And you can pretty much outsource that too. Like, this is what I want, this is what I'm willing to spend, someone does that. And then the CEO or the leadership of the company, because you can't have someone making these decisions for you, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to say? What
high
statements
risk
are we willing to make? And that's what can catapult you from a tiny company to, American Apparel was a $600 million company, but it had the profile of a $6 billion company because we took risks, we took stands. And we did things that other brands were afraid to do. You could argue that it had some consequences for other reasons,
sure,
and we won't get into that, but I think people...
The spirit of it's right. I mean, the humans behind it can create vulnerabilities.
Yes.
And you got, you know, it's why the controlled chaos is always so powerful.
Right.
If you have somebody that has that artistic practicality.
Right, right. Yeah, you look at someone like Trump, right? It good politically, you know, whether you agree with him politically or not, he's by saying the things that other people are afraid to say, he gets way more attention than they do, and he reaches people that they're unable to reach.
That's right. What do we got here? Who's calling?
Jovan.
Let's do it. It's okay. Supply and demand of attention and information, like the norms.
The media wants to write about things. People don't realize this. The media has an insatiable appetite, and if you make yourself appetizing, they'll jump all over you.
For sure. And what's interesting is, in traditional PR, there was a gatekeeper of that, but now the people that are interesting can go direct to consumer at scale.
You can announce your own campaign on Medium, and if it's provocative and interesting,
you've got
it'll
a shot.
Get pickup. Yeah.
Looks like Jovan fucked up. Let's move on. Is this Jovan calling back? Let's see. I don't know, is it ringing? No, all right, let's just move on. So what about audio while he's transitioning? I'm right now obsessed with Alexa skills, you know, Google Home, podcasts, just the fact that I believe that audio and sound is saving people time.
Yes.
Because you can
audiobooks.
Consume it. Yep. So where have you been on that? Have you been looking at that at all? Like, what's your relationship right now with the current state of audio?
I think audio is big.
Hello?
Why? Hello?
Jovan?
Excuse me, you call me before?
Yes, this is Gary Vaynerchuk from the Ask Gary Vee show. I called you.
Oh, yes.
Would you like me to call you? Was that part of the plan? You gave us your phone number?
What plan? No, wait. Bingo.
I'm sorry?
Hello?
Yes. Hey, this is Gary Vaynerchuk from the Ask Gary V Show.
Yes. Where are you calling from? Again?
I'm calling from the Ask Gary V Show. My name is Gary Vaynerchuk. Did you put your phone number on my live stream so we would call you?
Oh, we put our number on where?
On Facebook.
On Facebook.
Is that true or is it the wrong number?
I think it's the wrong number.
No problem. I hope you have a wonderful day.
We are just tourists here.
I'm sorry about that. No worries.
We're tourists where?
What?
Where are you?
We are in LA.
Very nice. Well, I hope you have a wonderful time. Sorry to inconvenience you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right.
No, I think audio is huge because it's one of the, unlike video and unlike reading, you can do another thing while
which
you do it.
Which is huge, mm-hmm. right? And as we have become those humans, we are more and more attracted to.
Yes, and also it's long form for the most part. And I think my first book was sort of an expose of how toxic some
which
of the
one?
Media system, trust me, I'm lying, was an expose of some of the problems in the media system. And I think one of the reasons that podcasts are so good and audiobooks are so good is that they're not subject to the Darwinian economics of viralness, right? Podcasts don't go viral.
That's right.
Unless it's some amazing world. But for the most part,
you're not reverse engineering a headline to create virality regardless of the depth of the content underneath it.
Yeah, it's either just a long conversation or it's a deep dive into a subject. Startup is 10 episodes of an hour long. It's
the number
10
you
hour
dialed.
Series.
Yep.
So it's so much higher quality than most of the crap on the internet. And I think that's huge.
Do you believe in the current state of the internet, the best quality rises to the top?
No, of course not. I mean, I think there's that Martin Luther King line where the arc of history is long as it bends and it bends towards truth.
Yes.
At the end of the day, great stuff eventually finds
macro.
Its audience. But there are many, many amazing things that are not being seen over a lot of crap.
Hey, it's Gary Vee on the Ask Gary Vee Show with Ryan Holiday.
What's up, Ryan? What's up, Gary? How's it going?
Hey.
Doing well, man. Who's this?
Doing well. This is Kylan DeYoung over in Los Angeles. I was over at the Shoe Palace thing in Melrose, actually.
That's awesome, Kylan. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming out. What's your question?
My question is, if you're still developing a business, like in the sense of, because I work full-time at a marketing agency, which I love, have a lot of fun here. I think we're actually going to do some partnerships with VaynerMedia. Some of us have some meetings over there, but on the side, I've been building a tech company to help small businesses save money, been building a personal brand for creating content, kind of no exact direction on what type of business. Like, I don't know what it is I want to go 100% in on, what it is I want that's going to be, like, the main focus. So how do you, during that time, do you still build, like, a personal brand, like should I have a vlog? I know you talk a lot about making a vlog, and I know you guys talk a lot about building up your own content. Is that something that I should be doing, even though I don't know what's the exact direction I want to go?
Yeah, so I'll let Ryan answer from his perspective, because it's going to be an interesting one. You know, as long as you're hearing me loud and clear when I talk about documenting versus creating, the thing that I'm so worried about in this whole personal brand thing is it gets real ugly real fast because people lie, right? Because you start faking it till you make it and you start fronting. And the reason I'm so happy that I had that meeting with that kid and it caught some wind and gave me clarity around this documenting versus creating, like, I was a very different guy in a lot of ways when I was 22, 23 starting Wine Library, but in a lot of ways I was a super similar guy, right, Eric? And so like, I couldn't speak to a lot of the accomplishments I had because I hadn't achieved them yet, but fuck, man, I had plenty of bravado and it was fun. It would have been fun to be able to call those shots back in the day. It would have been cool to see that meeting that Eric and I had with David Karp at Tumblr, you know, in our office. Like, you know, I guess back, it's funny that what Ryan was saying right before he called, my big thing is the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Like, You can build your personal brand, AKA your reputation. You can hack with creating content. I'm just worried that people, when they think personal brand, start calling themselves like the seven-figure expert. Or like, I feel like everybody turns into WWF and has to become a character, not their actual person. So yeah, I'm a fan of it because I think it leads to opportunity. I think like it's a living, breathing resume at scale that has huge upside, one piece of content away from changing your life. As long as you're patient and realize nobody gives a fuck for the first 2, 3, 4, 5 years, depending on how interesting you are and what you're producing. And it has a lot of people, I mean, the most of the market is producing stuff that nobody wants to watch. Ryan?
Yeah, so I'll tell a quick story. In the late 1920s, 1930s, Winston Churchill is basically driven from political life in Britain, right? He'd worked his way all the way up to the top, one of the most important people in Britain, and he's driven out from politics. He still holds a small office, but he's driven out. And what does he do? He turns to radio and writing articles. He writes hundreds of articles. He gives international radio broadcasts. He's actually at this time more famous in America than he is in his home country. He writes books. He writes this epic series about the First World War and about the history of the English language and all these things. And he builds a huge platform.
He becomes a media company himself.
Basically, yes. Yep. And he's publishing in Ladies' Home Journal in the United States and everywhere and anywhere that will take him. And he builds up.
And he reverse engineers the content for the context of the place?
Yes, about all the. He becomes a famous person who has a platform. And so he begins to warn about the threat of Nazism and Hitler, which people in the British leadership was ignoring. And so finally, when they woke up and they realized we've been appeasing Hitler for all this time and we've not been taking this seriously, and they said, and the people wanted the person to replace them to solve this problem that they'd avoided for so long, Winston Churchill was the name on everyone's lips, right? And he had the world's ear to communicate that message. And so it's never too late or too early to start building your platform, and you have to do it.
You know, Ryan just much more articulately explained the way I talk about being historically correct. The big reason I have so much passion right now of documenting everything I'm doing is because historically I've been right about a lot of stuff, and those are missed opportunities for me. And I've been wrong. Eric remembers when I thought video email would rule the world, but I like being wrong too. You know, to me, what was refined at 41-year-old Gary that 25-year-old Gary didn't have is I try not to predict as much. What Winston Churchill didn't make up, he wasn't Nostradamus. He wasn't like, a man named Hitler is gonna come. Like, he wasn't doing that weird thing.
Right.
He was just watching and social commentating in real time. That's what I've evolved into. Instead of predicting that video email is gonna win, I just recognize that voice is working, yes. That podcast consumption is on the, it's just being first, faster, and making a bet in the early indicators instead of guessing. And so I think that's what you're speaking to.
And going directly to the people, building an audience. You know, people think like, oh, when I have my company or I write my book or I make my YouTube channel or start my podcast, that's what will get me the audience.
It's so crazy. I don't give a shit what Drake has to say now. I would watch every minute of the 3 years before he became Drake. All of it. I would consume all of it. Show me the day before it happened. And then you realize it's not a day. The biggest reason I'm doing Daily V is because, guys, YouTube, it's not a day before, it's the whole thing. It's just the volume of work that shows you it wasn't a moment, it was the whole fucking thing, the whole process. And so, no man, I don't think it's too early as long as you're not full of shit. And so as long as your content is, I'm not sure what I'm doing yet, or today I ate a banana, or it's really cool today that, like, everybody in this room and everybody watching right now and everybody on YouTube could have gave their 2 cents the day Instagram copied all of Snapchat's features a year ago. It would just be fun to see what everybody thought. How did they feel? How did your mind change? Like, that's just interesting fodder. And if you find out that eventually you're right at social commentating, to Ryan's point, you're the name on everybody's lips.
Yeah, and I would say also your point about documenting, my friend Austin Kleon, he's a great writer and artist, he says, you know, you can't, it's not a, too many people want to be the noun without doing the verb, right? So you gotta do the work. It's about showing the work that you're doing, not talking about what that work's got you, or I hate fake it till you make it. It's not, no, you shouldn't have to fake it till you make it. You should be showing yourself making it, right? That's interesting.
You know, and then you have a huge audience like me. I prefer the climb, not the finish line. I don't like the World Championship. I am disgusted when the Yankees and Rangers finally win and focus completely on the Jets. Like, I'm thrilled. You don't understand how excited I am for this shit season. I cannot wait to go there every Sunday and get our faces beaten in because I want to sit there lonely because it's going to be a half-empty stadium, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to look at everybody's fucking face, and I'm going to look, and then 5, 7, 9 years later when those seats are filled with new faces, I'm going to be like, you weren't fucking here. But Rick was. And I love that process. And I think way too many people want to be the thing and not realizing the thing that attracts us to each other is the vulnerabilities and the humility and the process, not the end result. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, if you think about hip hop, do you know why I love hip hop? Once you're a star, you're only writing about how you got there. Like, what are you even talking about? All you're ever talking, like, notice what comes out of my mouth. The first time, everybody who's a fan of mine does not watch the first 9 minutes of any of my keynotes because I have to drill home. I was born in fucking Belarus. There was a studio apartment. There's a fucking lemonade stand. There's baseball cards. Like, everybody knows it because it's my favorite part. And people don't realize you're so lucky that you now live in a world. Fuck, man, if I had this, Ryan. You know how fucking awesome this would have been? Making videos in my dorm room at fucking Mount Ida College with all these fucking losers around me and me just making videos like, I know it looks bad now, but it's gonna get fucking unbelievable. Like, you know, like, and that's it. And so, like, I love, Javon, I hope we're answering. I mean, I think we're nerding out with each other a little bit. I think we forgot you're here, but I hope this is bringing you, I hope this is bringing you value and kind of the essence and energy that we're bringing to the conversation.
And you gotta love that. No. You gotta love that process, right? You gotta love it more. Like, when I have a book come out, the day, almost on my last four books, when the day the book came out, yeah, I was working on the next one. Oh, yeah. Because there's pleasure in me sitting there with the page and moving things around and watching the Amazon rank or the reviews. All that makes me uncomfortable and it's out of my control. The work is always in my control. I can make it good. I can't make people do anything.
Yeah, and so for me, like, it's so interesting. Like, I get super excited when I have an idea for a book. And then, because I don't actually write, I have a ghostwriter, I have a different process.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, as you can imagine, opening, like, when I start selling it, which is usually 3 months before it comes out, and then opening day, like, to me, that's what I get excited about.
Right.
I secretly think I can make people do what I, no, but I mean, no. I'm joking, but I'm
telling you. Nick Saban wins a national championship. He walks, he celebrates on the field and he walks into the locker room and he's thinking about next season. And
that's, I get it.
I get it too.
I hate winning. I really do. I don't think people realize how much I mean that. I like the process over everything.
And that's what made you good at the process. It's an adaptive mechanism, right? Because you love the process, that's where you spend all your time and energy and it feels comfortable and you're at home in it. And the winning, even if you're winning a lot, winning is rare, right? Like, even if you're winning all the time, it's every couple months, every couple weeks, but every day I'm sitting down on my computer, I have my routine and my ritual, yep. So that's what I love.
Javon, what did you get out of this?
Are you talking to me? I'm
sorry.
It's
yeah.
A quiz, man.
Yeah, what did you get out of this little rant?
So what I'm getting out of it is that while you're building, even if you don't know exactly what is the business endeavor, entrepreneurial endeavor that you're gonna build, you can document your own personal journey of finding that as long as you're being honest about everything, you're not spitting out bullshit and just the fake it till you make it and just really like, hey, I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing. We're trying this right now to see if this works and if this is a model that we can really get behind. If I'm working with somebody or myself that I'm really interested in, that's what I'm pushing. And then once you build that, then I would start building, like, you know, maybe that the company would get its own social media.
Javon, that's exactly right in a lot of ways. And just how many views do you think, if there was video of Zucks launching Facebook that day and the conversation that him and those four or five homies had in their dorm room of like what they, like how many views do you think that would have? Like,
millions.
Like, I mean, like gajillions, bro, fuck millions. Like, you know, like, and so, that to me is super interesting, and I think that that's what your generation and all you characters have, and don't waste it because you're gonna be really pissed you didn't document it.
Can I say one thing about platform?
You can say two things.
All right, so 2009, I decided I wanted to be a writer. My first book didn't come out for 3-4 years after that. And I knew writers have email lists, right? That's how you tell people you're launching a book. But why would anyone subscribe to an email list from a person they've never heard of, right? And so I thought, how do I get people who like books on an email list? And so I said, I'm going to recommend books that I like. And my first email went out to 50 people. It was so small, I could just copy them into the BCC. Yes, and then
that's how Wine Library's entire email list was for years.
And then you find, oh wait, Gmail caps it at a certain number. It's like
that
500.
Was devastating.
Then I had to open or create block
multiple.
You from your
account.
Yeah.
I was creating multiple.
So then I opened like a MailChimp account or something, and I'm at ConvertKit now. But that list is now 85,000 people. And the way I monetize, I just recommend one email a month, just books. And I've monetized it because I've sent 6 emails to that list of my own, where the book I'm announcing that month is my own book.
Right.
And so.
So you wait, one of the months when you recommend books is.
Here's a good book.
Here's a good book. I like the guy who wrote this.
Yeah, yeah. And it'll be funny because people will go like, I had no idea you were. They've been subscribed for years and they'll be like, I had no idea you were a writer.
I have a great idea for your January 30th, 2018 recommended book. It's called Crushing It. It's a follow-up to a book that did very well. We'll talk about it later.
Done.
No. Definitely not done, because one thing, you know what's funny about you? And this is, it's so fun. You know, I don't meet a lot of people that I have common friends with and knew by reputation, but met them kind of late. Like, it's funny that it took a while for us to cross paths. The level of, like, I know it's not done because it makes me so happy for you. It's called respect, that if you don't like it, it's not done, even though we may like each other. It's
that's
why,
true. Yeah,
if you
I wouldn't
notice,
recommend a shitty
that's right.
book. Yeah.
It's why, if you notice, the 5 or 6 times I've ever given a quote to somebody's book, it never says anything about the book because I don't have time to read it, and
it's
I don't read and I can't read. That's right. It says Amy's wonderful, right? It says that. It will never say like this book made me think.
That's a good hack though. If you're ever writing a book and you're asking for blurbs, ask them to blurb you, because you can use the blurb for more than just your book.
It's true. Amy is wonderful. Works on everything. Jay, thanks so much for calling, brother. Good luck.
No, guys. Thanks so much.
I remember how we met the first time. I was walking down the street in Austin.
South by.
We bumped into each other. I said, hey, Gary, what's going on? You said, nothing, just crushing it.
And
I
said, sounds about right.
And Crushing It just came out. And I was like, that's a man who knows how to brand.
I really enjoyed when we hung more officially in Austin. I'm glad I was really looking forward to having you on the show, man. And I highly, listen, you guys know me pretty well. Like, you can see I'm buddy-buddy with a lot of people, and I like a lot of people. The list gets a lot shorter when you ask me, like, who do I think is good? My good list is a hell, I like everybody, weirdly. Who do I think is good is a very short list, and I think you're really good at what you do, man.
Thank you, man.
For real. Cool, one last one. Man, that list is very small, like, right? Like, when we're off camera, we think everyone sucks. Like, really sucks. Like, Seth Curry sucks. Josh, Gary Vee, Ask Gary Vee Show, you're on with Ryan, how are you?
Gary, what is up? I'm good. How you doing? How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing good.
Where are you from and what's your question?
I am from Boston, Massachusetts. I'll get right into it. My question, I have a baseball subscription box company. It's called Plate Crate. Plate Crate. So I do monthly box baseball gear, training, and accessories. I got about 600 monthly customers. We're growing pretty rapidly.
Real quick, I apologize to cut you off. Real quick, hold on. You have a box of the month business that has baseball stuff in it? I know I'm simplifying it.
Yep, no,
keep
that's
going.
Exactly what it is.
Keep
for
going.
Baseball players, not fans.
I see, for players. High school player? Yep. I assume non-professional players, right?
Little league all the way up to professional. We have a couple pro guys as well, not in the MLB, but in minor league.
I love it. Keep going.
Yeah, so basically we're doing Facebook ads. We do a ton on Instagram and Facebook. I just got into my affiliate program, but my affiliate program, I only give about $7 to $10 commissions, so not super enticing for influencers. I was wondering how I could get around that hurdle.
Well, you could give them much more.
What's a customer worth? I bet the lifetime value of your customer has got to be way more than $6 or $7,
but
right?
Because he's new, he doesn't know how the LTV plays out yet, right?
It's about 4.5 months LTV. So it's worth more than that. Cost of goods about half.
So what are you just, what are you just greedy or?
No, I'm not greedy. I did like a tiered system. I could give more away. I just didn't know how to structure it since I've never done an affiliate program before. So I looked up, it was about 20 to 30%.
It's really funny though. I want every single person listening to this podcast to rewind this. There was something I tweeted the other day, kind of just like, I've been on this kick lately of just saying stuff very generally, just for my own happiness. And I said, it was after a meeting where somebody was clearly not passionate about their product and they were trying to sell me. And I tweeted something like, you know, selling isn't scary. A lot of people are scared to sell. It's selling something you don't believe in is scary. If everybody rewinds the way you talked about your affiliate program just now was like, yep, you shit on it before you even finished the fourth word out of your mouth. And okay, I think it's a really interesting insight, right? Of course it has no yep prayer. You thought the affiliate program was dog shit for the person. And then so like,
you know, it's
like,
attractive.
Yeah, it's a really interesting, yep, like, bro, I'm telling you, even for yourself, my man, you need to go back yep and listen to how you said it. It was crazy. You hedged yep the living shit out of it. Like, hey, hey guys, real quick, this really sucks yep shit, but give me an answer. That in itself yep is the insight. The thing that okay always works for me and why I think I'm a good salesman is, boy, do I believe in my shit. And if I don't, okay, I just don't sell it. And so like, you're, yep, you like, what's the number that you think is really worth it to them? Like, when do you mm-hmm when do you feel emphatic about DMing every Little League baseball coach on earth? Like, when do you get pumped? Like, what do you think the good deal is? And more importantly, yep, if you, why can't you make that the deal if you think that's mm-hmm the good deal? Is it financial? What is it?
And I would say the mm-hmm deal should be so good that it's a little scary to you, right? That the number feels okay a little scary. And I would say a couple yep more things on affiliate programs. So one, it's got to be both directions, right? So yep what are you mm-hmm giving them as the commission? And then what are they offering their people, right? So it's not like, I'm not yep gonna, I'm not gonna get up and go, hey, I'm gonna sell this because I know I'm taking some money off the back end. I want to be able to go to my people, my fans, and give them something. You look like Wealthfront, I think, mm-hmm has one of the best affiliate programs. It's really good. It's, mm-hmm, they manage money for free, but for both parties, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then remember, like I see this, I do this in one of my talks where I got this letter from like my mortgage company, and they're like, hey, we really appreciate referrals. Give us referrals. And I was like, I'm sure you do appreciate referrals. It's free business, right? Yeah. So pay me, right? Like right. if you want, you're asking people to spend their social capital recommending yeah your for-profit service.
Let me throw another one, mm-hmm, mainly because I respect Ryan, and I'm actually doing this selfishly because I want to see what his reaction is, because I think he'll be able to add on it. Or you go completely the other way.
Sure.
Right? So mm-hmm I think of things in brand and sales, transactional, micro, and macro brand building. Maybe you go completely the other way and go, you know, like to me, a lot of times it's like, don't ask for anything ever and just obliterate everybody with like value, 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 right? Sure. Like what mm-hmm if you made the best baseball training videos of all, like free, like that's where you act like a media company, right? And mm-hmm and, yep and so like, there's a lot of ways to go about it, but the one thing to never do is be half pregnant. And like, that's okay where you're stuck right now. To Ryan's point, let me tell you something amazing about controlling shit. You can make it, what was the affiliate program again? $7 to $10?
Yep, $7 to $10.
And how much is it a month?
It's $37 a month.
Right. Give them $37, right? Let me yep tell you, let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask 29 people and they all say yes, because they're like, holy shit, I'm getting as much as he's getting in full sales, I have great news. After they all say yes, you can stop giving that out.
Yeah.
Like, you're in control of your shit. Like, I don't know, put in the fine print that it's like one day, you know, cancellation to the, like what people don't get is, to Ryan's point, it's funny, it made me think about free shipping. Like, you know, again, I just love pointing to Eric because these are the stories lost in history. When we did free shipping, there was no, like, that's not what happened. Like, yeah, it was like, we lost, like, we were scared fuckless. We're like, whoa, we're gonna, like, you know, unlimited free shipping? Like, what if they buy Kendall Jackson? That's dead cost. You know, we lose money on the credit card transaction, let alone the fucking, but like the good news was it expired. It was a one day thing. Like, it could only put us out of business so much. And you know, I don't know what you have in the bank and what your situation is, but to Ryan's point, if you make yourself uncomfortable, if it goes too well, you can stop it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it's funny too. Like, businesses are willing to lose money on all sorts of things, right? They're willing to lose money on advertising. Like, hey, this billboard costs $50,000. So, but it's good for brand building, whatever. And then if I said, okay, but what if we gave $50,000 worth of product away to people? They'd be like, ah, I don't know. And it's like, the product is the best advertising. If you spend $50,000 on a billboard and maybe you get some customers out of it, versus you give $50,000 worth of product away, at least you have $50,000 worth of people using your shit. And if it's good, yeah, you'll get word of mouth.
Ryan, there was this delicious product coming out from one of my clients. Delicious. Like like everybody liked it. All yep. creeds and I told him instead of spending $24 million on media and marketing to give away $24 million worth of product, and they just couldn't wrap their head around it.
No,
and it would have yeah. worked.
I mean, look,
sampling works.
Publishers want to try to charge media outlets for, you know, first serial rights on a book. That's the yep. excerpt. It's like, are you out of your mind? Give as much of the book away as humanly possible, and if it's good, people will give the book to other people. Who's going to buy a book that they know nothing about that they haven't gotten to try, right? And so if your shit is good, the more of it you give away, the more customers you'll have.
I love it.
Does that put you in the macro mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to do that right now, right when we get off the phone.
You better tweet us and tell us what happened. Love you. See ya. Bye. Sorry. Right. What you've got so much wisdom. What parting wisdoms for, you know, so many entrepreneurs listening, all shapes and sizes. I think this is gonna be a very popular episode. We got into like some details, which I think is gonna be very healthy for my audience, because boy, do I love to be in the macro. What like one other, two other tidbits like sit on your chest on the theme of this episode? Anything stand out? I know you got a lot of different things that you believe in. Like anything that we haven't covered that you think can be a nugget for somebody?
Want to take a sharp right turn and talk You're Gonna Die, Memento Mori?
100%.
I think I carry in my pocket every day, I carry a coin that just says Memento Mori, which is Latin. It means remember your death, right? And on the back, there's a quote from Marcus Aurelius, the Stoic. And he wrote to himself, he said, you could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do and say and think. So this could be the last show I'm on in my life. This could be the last city I'm on in my life. This could be the last book I ever write. You know, the last time I talked to my wife could be the last time. And you got to let that determine, you got to let that shape. Death should, the thought of your mortality and death, and not in a depressing way, should shadow everything that you do, because it's the only way to make sure you do it right.
Boy, do I talk about death a lot, right? Right?
It's up there.
Yeah, I mean, the funeral, like,
oh, yeah, sure.
I believe in it the most, as you can probably know a little bit. Like, I'm glad you brought that up.
No, your three words, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
That should let you cut out bullshit. That should let you decide how you're gonna treat other people and let yourself be treated, and it should determine the quality of the work that you're gonna do.
This happens to everybody in a micro. It's called when police lights go on behind you, you're scared shitless, you change your behavior, then the car drives by you, right? And then for like 3 minutes, you're like, okay, I'm gonna go 55 now. And then, you know, 4 minutes later, you're going 73 again.
Right,
and that's how I think people do it in life. Like something bad happens, they hear something, they see something, and they're like, oh shit, I'm gonna live under the mindset of you're gonna die. Like, yeah, they've seen my thing, it hit them for a day.
Well, it's like you hear about a friend who has cancer and you think like, what would I do if I had cancer?
Yeah.
You do have cancer, you're gonna fucking die.
Yes,
you
I
do
agree.
Have cancer, you just don't. You just don't. First off, because lots of people do get cancer, so there's a real chance yeah. the cells are already in your
yep,
body, right?
Yep.
But like, you do have a fatal diagnosis from a doctor. He just can't tell you if it's 6 months or 60 years. But
yep.
you are definitely 100% going to die, and it could be tomorrow. So what are you going to do with that information?
I believe in it the most, my man.
Yeah.
All right. Question of the day.
Okay.
Every guest gets to ask the question of the day. You'll get a lot of answers, thousands across Facebook and YouTube most likely. This is a good opportunity for you to do a little, you know, focus group or whatever the hell you like.
Can
asking.
Can I ask you, so I'm supposed to ask a question?
To the audience,
oh,
yes,
the
but
audience.
You're more than welcome to ask me a singular question.
I was
going to
ask
you
a
want.
Question.
Yeah,
okay,
go ahead.
So,
and then you can ask the question of the day.
So I love writing and books and all of that, and it's what gets me up in the morning. And one of the things I wrestle with when I watch your stuff and I see just the immense amount of people you're reaching is I see video and social and all this stuff. And I ask myself, on the one hand, I didn't become a writer to go do those things, right?
Yes.
All those things come at the cost of my craft. But on the other hand, am I being closed mind? Like, how could someone like me get into video?
You put that form of communication in that context on a pedestal because of the narrative you painted yourself early on.
Sure.
The end.
Okay.
You know, like, I get it. Like, I think about it too. Like, it's funny how the world goes in your favor when you just realize what's the point. I think what's special about you for me is I actually think you have something to say. It's interesting. I've spent some time with you now, a second time, a little meaningless. It's always fucking strong. And look, you may be, and you, let me phrase, you are great at communicating those things in your way.
Yeah.
And that still may be your way. I, for example, can't put three sentences together, but I know that people like to read books,
sure.
Right?
Right.
And so for me, I hack the system. For me, it's a ghostwriter. For me, it's trying to really be smart about my process. Like, and I'm able to write a book in my voice because every word is dissected. It's all recorded, right? Grammar and structure is put around to help me. But I don't put the medium on a platform. Right. I put the message on a platform and then I figure out how to hack whether audio, video, or written word, how to get it out there, because I feel in my heart, and this is what I get from you, that I'm really trying to bring value. I love the narcissistic and selfish aspects of it, but I'm way more fascinated by the legacy and noble altruistic aspects of it, which then gives me the humility to deploy it in any shape or form. You may not be as great at video in front of a camera, but you can absolutely work with somebody who takes words and sentences and makes it into an animation. Like, you could create a billion-dollar IP business of the cartoon version of yourself. Like, there's so many ways to do it. Video consumption is real.
Yeah.
Audio consumption is real.
Right.
Your voice is too powerful not to find its way into those mediums.
No, I should hack the way that you, if you don't feel books are natural, you find a way to get it done.
Correct.
I need to do that on other mediums that aren't natural to me.
At least my point of view.
Because, that's because my advice I'm looking for.
Because I think the romance of the medium I'm empathetic to.
Yeah, yeah.
But why not let more people be affected by it?
No, you're totally right.
And then it becomes a gateway to those things.
Sure, sure.
I mean, you'll have a lot more book consumption
yeah.
if people have the video consumption, because that's what they're doing.
You're totally right.